Okay, thanks so much for that introduction, and thanks everybody for coming out this morning for the presentations. So I guess I don't need to introduce myself again, Bill Cherniak. So I'm here to talk to you about a study that we did in rural Uganda in 2014. I have to do the presenter disclosure first, and unfortunately I don't have any relationships to disclose. If you'd like to provide me with funding, then we can talk about that. So very quickly, I just wanted to ask the audience a couple of questions. Can anybody tell me what this is a picture of? Just shout it out. Taj Mahal. Okay, great. How about this one? What?
Kilimanjaro.
I have Kilimanjaro. Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji is the right answer. And then this is the last one. I'll be very impressed if anybody gets this.
Thank you.
So this is from Canada. This is Peyto Lake in Alberta, and it's close to where I went to medical school. Okay, so I thought I would talk briefly about Bridge to Health, which is the Canadian charity that I'm co-founder and the executive director of. And basically, briefly, our model is, as you can see it, it's three-tiered. And the piece that's missing here is that we focus on collaborating with local partners. So in particular, this study was a collaboration between Bridge to Health and our partner, Kigizi Healthcare Foundation. So they're a not-for-profit community development organization based in rural Uganda, grassroots organization. They've been around for 15 years. And what's really unique about their model is that it's not just healthcare, it's also a combination of education and poverty in order to address public health issues. So just as a quick background, Uganda is that country in green, just above Lake Victoria there, and then we are down here in the southwestern portion in the Kibali district. So it's a population about 600,000, and the important thing here is that it's really a mountainous topography, and it's a really tough place to do any research in. And because of that, in the Kibali region, it's also very difficult to get out to the communities. So part of the challenges that I'll talk about later was actually conducting the study out in these places where we went to. So a little bit of background. The reason why we did the study in the first place is because of how isolated these rural communities are. They often lack access to care, in particular antenatal care. So government statistics say that about 95% of women at least go to one antenatal care visit. But from local healthcare providers who work in these particularly rural isolated regions, it's much lower than that. And out of that percentage of women who go for a first ANC visit, only about a third of them ever actually deliver in a healthcare facility in the end. And then, as you can see, there's quite a high rate of HIV prevalence as well. So basically what's important about this background information is in order to prevent things like mother-to-child transmission of HIV, treat congenital syphilis and prevent that as well, malaria, you need to get women enrolled in antenatal care programs. And so that was essentially the goal of this study, was how do we get more moms to come for antenatal screening? So we thought about ultrasound. Basically, it's obviously an old technology for here in North America, but it's a different concept in that instead of trying to dictate to people that, you know, you should come for this screening and trying to make people feel bad about it, actually offer some kind of incentive to encourage moms to come for screening. So we had the idea through myself as an eMERGE doc in Toronto using portable ultrasound in the departments, and in collaboration with our local partner organization who, you know, thought that women would really be interested in being offered this ultrasound scan to concretely see visualization of their unborn baby, we decided to use this as our model for the study. So again, the main question was, if you advertise free portable obstetric ultrasound, will that actually increase attendance to antenatal care? And then, do you have to do it by word of mouth, or do you need to use the radio? And then one of our secondary objectives also, which I'll talk about a little bit later, was whether this would have any particular impact on a particularly vulnerable group of women who utilize traditional healers and are unlikely to engage in the healthcare system from the beginning. So in terms of methods, as you can see here, it was approved at a hospital in Toronto as well as Embraer University of Science and Technology in Uganda. We did a randomized cluster-controlled trial, and we went out to 8 sub-counties across rural Kibali. So this is a table and a figure to help visualize a little bit what we did, because it became a little bit complicated, which again I'll explain in our limitations. But essentially we had our control and intervention arm. So that WOM means word-of-mouth advertisement. So just from a broad scope, everybody in the control and intervention arm in all 8 communities had an antenatal care clinic advertised by word of mouth. And what word of mouth means is that local parishioners and community leaders presented to their basically populations that a group of doctors was going to be coming on this particular day to provide an antenatal care clinic and to come for screening. So in the control arm, as you can see, there was no advertisement of ultrasound. It was just that word of mouth advertisement of the antenatal care clinic. The intervention arm was, again, still word of mouth advertisement. And then we added word of mouth advertisement of portable ultrasound. Intervention A had no radio messaging at all, so it was just people talking about it. Intervention B, we added radio advertisement of the antenatal care clinic. And then in the final arm, which is the really interesting one, we had radio advertisement of ultrasound and the clinic. And I'll sort of explain a little bit more how we ended up getting that model in the end. So this table is impossible to read, and I apologize, but it's just for you to believe me that the demographics are roughly similar between all of our groups that came out in the end. And we break down based on education level, number of pregnancies, occupation, and based by the control and intervention arms. So this is sort of the meat and potatoes of the results from our study. And I wanted to sort of draw your attention to this particular figure here, which is rate of attendance in the clinic. So this was the primary outcome of our study. And basically what you can see is in the control arm, in the first four clinic days, we had 11.1 women coming out. And this figure is based on rates per 1,000 pregnant women in the community. So we had 11.1, and then in the intervention C, where we actually advertised it by radio for the portable ultrasound, we had almost six times the number of women coming out. So really interesting results there. Made a huge impact to advertise by radio. And in the clinic itself, it was really self-evident. You know, there were so many more women coming out on the days when it was advertised. What was interesting also was rate of first ANC attendance. So these are women who have not been to antenatal care over the course of their pregnancy. It wasn't statistically significant, but there's an obvious trend towards increased attendance in women who had not been involved in the healthcare system previously, which of course is important for so many reasons, to be able to provide comprehensive antenatal care, antiretroviral therapy, detect any complications that they might have during childbirth with the ultrasound. And then the final piece is this rate of seeing traditional healers. So this was statistically significant. So what we found was that more women who had previously engaged with traditional healers were more likely to come and engage with the modern healthcare system when they were offered this incentive of concrete visualization of their baby. So I'll move on to this. We took the actual rates and then we put together rate ratios for the different arms. So I just wanted to draw your attention to the C versus control. So intervention C, again, and I'm sorry, this is all fairly complicated, but intervention C was the arm where we advertised portable ultrasound and clinic by radio. So compared to control, we had almost a six times greater rate of women coming up to clinic. And then also with seeing a traditional healer was almost a nine times rate ratio. And then we actually asked the women who presented to clinic why they came a particular day. And as you can see, 244 rate ratio on the days when we advertised ultrasound. Basically everybody said they came to the clinic because they wanted an ultrasound scan, which to us validated that that was really why people were coming out and why the rates were increasing. The other point I wanted to draw, this is C versus B. So C again was radio advertisement of ultrasound and clinic, and B was word of mouth advertisement of ultrasound and radio advertisement of clinic. So basically what this means to us is that it wasn't enough to just tell people by word of mouth, we actually had to broadcast it on the radio. And so I'll get a little bit into the challenges and the main reasons for why that all happened. So the first challenge is with our denominator data. There had been no census conducted in Uganda since 1994 when the lines were all redrawn. So we had to try to find a way to actually get these denominator data. And so we got a little bit creative, and our local partner who works in the community, we had to hire somebody to go out to all the local healthcare centers and get data on first-time ANC attendance to government clinics. And then we used that as a surrogate for the actual number of pregnant women. And we did sensitivity analyses that all got roughly equivalent results. So we feel that it's fairly accurate. In terms of technical issues and word of mouth not being effective, those two sort of go hand in hand. So on our fifth clinic day, that was the first day when ultrasound was being advertised by word of mouth, and we didn't see any increase in the number of women coming. And so we were really perplexed because we'd done a pilot study where triple the number came out. And so we, again, had this survey we were asking women, and we figured out that nobody really knew that the ultrasound was there or what it was. And that was because the message being taken back home from parishioners and children to their moms about what an ultrasound was didn't make any sense. Nobody really understood, which is completely understandable. So that's when we put together this radio broadcast, and we said concretely what an ultrasound is will allow you to visualize your unborn baby. And that made all the difference in the following days. So just a couple of quick conclusions. And then I'll wrap up. So basically, portable obstetric ultrasound, there's some costs to buy the machines initially, but once you do purchase them, they're cheap, reliable, useful. We were able to scan 40 women on a single charge battery of one ultrasound machine over an entire clinic day. If you are able to find a certified technician, which we did and there are in Uganda, you're able to get reliable and good results, and there's lots of studies to back that up. It clearly worked in order to entice women to come for care. And what was really important to us, and the reason why we thought that more so than even just providing comprehensive antenatal care, there's a really interesting study that if a woman goes to ANC once, she's three times more likely to then deliver in a healthcare facility. And if you can get them to come back three times, they're nine times more likely to deliver in a healthcare facility. So, you know, we can't prove that with this study, but there is a new RCT going on now to look at that in, I think, rural sub-Saharan Africa, so that'll come out shortly. And then just a piece also, radio is critical. It wasn't just about word of mouth. You have to advertise it appropriately to get the message out to everybody. And my timer says 10, but I guess I had a little bit more time. But that's it. So thank you, everyone. And we couldn't have done the research without our sponsors who provide us with the funding to get out there and do this.